Hello, everybody. It is the Locked On Big 12 Roundtable. John Williams is here from Locked On Sooners. Emery Lida is here from Locked On Texas Tech. Steven Simcox is here from Locked On Horned Frogs. We have a new Big 12 commissioner, and his name is Brett Yormark. And he's coming over to be the new commissioner of the conference. We're going to break it all down. Is this a good move? What are the biggest challenges? Where do we go from here? What other things is set in motion? All of that and more coming up on the show.
You are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, once again, it's Locked On Big 12 podcast. I have half-working glasses. Fun way to start the show. I messed up the intro, but hey, we're here. We've got a new commissioner. And I'll tell you guys this. So Sports Illustrated had an article, Pat Forty wrote it, and it was number one. It starts off with Pat Forty, Mizzou alum. We love it. On your mark, get set, which is like, I mean, this, you know, probably dreamed of writing this lead in journalism school at Mizzou. I can tell you that, but, the reactions were pretty negative. And I want to start with these quotes. I'm not going to do, you know, thoughts on the hire, whatever. Like, this is what people were saying in the conference. All right, this is what y'all want to hear. This is the juicy stuff. One Big 12 AD asked Sports Illustrated, so asked Pat Forty. He said, what's his name? Does he know anything about our business? Now, it says that he asked. I believe it to be sarcastic. Another one said, I'm not familiar with that name. I guess we'll put on good concerts. Just because you don't know someone doesn't mean they won't be a good choice. But this isn't a time for a whole lot of on-the-job training. An administrator outside the league said, I would like to be optimistic, but this is a disaster in the making. Okay, Steven, I'll go to you first. Did you feel this way when you saw that the hire was made? Because I certainly did not.
No, I'm really surprised. I mean, it's certainly outside the box, but like, I think first we have to ask, what does the Big 12 commissioner actually do? Like, I understand there is a benefit to being within the sphere of college athletics, but honestly, if there was a time for an outsider to come on the job, it would be now, because college athletics as we know it is changing on what seems like almost a daily basis. The landscape of it's changing a lot. College football especially is essentially becoming a professional sport. And The most important things here are, can you market your conference in a positive way? And I think, you know, TV deals, negotiating, media rights, those types of situations. And then, like, I think for the Big 12, a really important aspect of this too, especially with Texas and OU leaving, is – you need to be leading the charge on playoff expansion and trying to, you know, rally other conferences to get that done. I feel like Brett Yormark can do all those things. You know, is he going to come in and have hot takes about like rules and regulations in football and basketball? Probably not, but I don't really think that's the most important part of the job at this point. I'm not going to pretend like I knew who he was before I heard the name, but just quickly reading up on him. I mean, he has some experience in pro sports, you know, worked with the Nets, worked in NASCAR. Rock Nation is, I mean, it's a music business, but it's also a sports agency. Like, really, this is just about Bob Bowlesby. I think he took some unfair criticism. You know, I feel like the worst thing that happened to him was the two flagship universities leaving. But honestly, like, they did that behind his back. And could he have been more proactive? Sure. But, like, that was their decision to go ahead and do it. And they did that all behind the scenes. So you need someone with some energy, with some enthusiasm. And I think the most positive thing that I heard was the presidents of the universities, like, they were blown away by his vision and sort of what he was casting for the future of the Big 12. So if that's what they saw when they talked to him, then I'll trust them on that. And you need somebody who kind of understands how this is going to move and shake and just sees a couple steps ahead. Because I think that's the most fair criticism of the Big 12 in the last decade or so, is that the conference just didn't see what was going to happen in college athletics, and they were constantly being reactive to, you know, a lot of the dominoes that were falling around the country.
Emery, I'm going to go to you on this one. Are you somebody that believes that this might not be positive because What does Brett Yormark know about Lubbock, Texas? What does he know about Red Raider football or basketball or baseball? Or do you think it's like, no, this needs to be a visionary business person because the business just took a big hit and they got to turn that around? Because that's kind of where I am.
No, I'm with you on that. I think if anything, it's the complete opposite. Like for decades now, the philosophy about hiring college conference commissioners has often been trying to find the right person that knows a lot about football in the area, knows a lot about sports in the area. And I simply think times are changing. If you're in the Big 12 and you've just seen your two flagship universities leave, you're not going to win this battle of conference realignment and stay as a conference powerhouse by simply doing the traditional approach of just hiring a sort of normal conference commissioner. You need someone that has that vision long term and can kind of have a good feel. Like, I like what Yormack has done in a variety of different industries. I mean, you look at his tenure, obviously working with Roc Nation, that's something. I mean, we all know how many different ventures they go down, whether it be in the concert industry, whether it be in sports, even kind of making their mark in the Web3 stuff as well. Like, you see all of the different marks that Roc Nation have made. You look at what Yormack specifically has done with the Nets and making Barclays Center attractive. And then you see as well, he had his hand tied in NASCAR at the time when NASCAR was at its peak in the early 2000s. So Yormack's a guy that's been in a lot of different successful areas. And he's also been in areas that have seen a lot of change over the course of the years. And so I feel like that sort of philosophy of going after guys that have success in a variety of different industries, that to me is more sustainable than someone that might know a little bit more about playing football in Lubbock. Because at the end of the day, college football, college sports in general is a business. And people might not want to hear that, but when it comes down to it, someone that has so much experience with the business side of different things and has had success in sports marketing and everything, that to me makes a better commissioner. And you're not going to win this battle of conference realignment and make the Big 12 the best it can be without someone that has a really good business sense. So I like the hire. If the athletic directors and presidents of the university are behind him and trust his vision, I think it's a good move to go after him. And I think it was the right move.
John, so this is because OU's kind of in this really interesting spot with, you know, being the ones that's transitioned or going to be making the transition. But I want to mention this, like, Yormark had experience with the Nets when they were transitioning from New Jersey to Brooklyn, which is obviously, you know, it is transition. That's something that's big, and they thrived when they made it to Barclays. Also, he was apparently a big part of that deal with NASCAR with Nextel, which ended up sponsoring the Cup Series. And that was a huge, huge deal for NASCAR when that went down, when that happened. So, you know, your thoughts as somebody whose team is going to be here just for a little bit longer, but, you know, just initially when you saw it.
Well, initially I had the same reaction as some of the ADs, like, who? Because I didn't know who he was. But it's like Steven mentioned, you know, you read up on the guy and the vast experience that he has is going to be translatable. I mean, it's like Emery said, it's a business. And his job is to get out there, promote the conference, make as much money for the conference as they possibly can, and make sure that the conference is sustainable long term. I think one interesting aspect that might come up, and we haven't heard this yet, but what is his experience with Roc Nation, that is a sports agency also? What does that do for them on the NIL front? Does he have a way of maybe providing some insight into how the Big 12 schools can operate better in NIL in order to attract higher profile targets and higher profile recruits? I think that's going to be an interesting aspect of this that nobody's really touched on yet. But I think it's a really good outside the box hire because you've got to do something different. It's a whole new world in college football, and you've got to go somewhere else for your insight. And you got to look at somebody who's had success in business, in sports business. And he's done that. He's proven that. And again, if the presidents are on board, I think they have a bigger vision sometimes than the ADs, who are a lot of times just football minded. And if the presidents can see the big picture of this and see how it's going to work out, then it's probably going to work out really, really good for the Big 12. And I mean, what's not to like? A guy that's going to be able to go in and negotiate big time deals with the media rights package coming up in the next few years. Like, that's going to be a guy that's going to be on the forefront of that and going to help the Big 12 secure the best possible media package available.
Right. And like George Klyavkov, you know, this is not the first time we've seen this. I would say people always kind of mention Kevin Warren. He was COO of the Vikings. So that's a bit more sports adjacent that I think like Klyavkov and Yormark are. These hires, like, whenever I hear George Klyavkov talk, and I get the pleasure of working on the Pac-12 channel a lot for SiriusXM, like, he's really well-spoken. I don't agree with everything that he says all the time, but it's not like he doesn't have a good idea of the product of what the Pac-12 is. Like, I'm sorry, we all like to think that we're special, but, like, he's going to need help, Yormark will, but I don't think this is a guy who's not going to understand what Big 12 football is, right? Or what the Big 12 is. The Big 12 is a Power 5 league still in football that is trying to maintain that is losing its two biggest financial assets, that is the best league in college basketball and really good softball and really good, although they're losing, you know, obviously Oklahoma and Texas. Still going to be good at softball, though. And really good at baseball as well. Like that's kind of the upshot on things that make money. Like that's kind of what we're looking at there. I don't think it's going to take years for him to understand what the product is. Like that's kind of what people in marketing do. Like you don't have to study something forever to know how to sell it and package it and do all these things. You got to do your research. I'm sure he will, and I'm sure he already has. I'm sure he's got a pretty good, you know, idea of where things are. But, like, the idea he needs to be in the trenches to sell this to a TV network, I don't think that's necessarily true. Does anybody else agree with that or disagree with that?
No, not at all. I mean, it's college football. And yes. It's college football in an area of the country that loves college football. So it's a pretty easy sell. The trick is, how much can you get for it? Like, you're going to be able to get a big, big chunk of change for the media rights deal, but it's just a matter of how much. And the guy's got the experience negotiating big time, you know, advertising big time contracts across these multiple sports experiences that he's going to be able to do really, really well for the Big 12.
Yeah, I agree with Josh. I also think, you know, having somebody who spent a vast amount of time in media will be helpful from the standpoint of, okay, what is the next big thing? Should we pivot to, you know, almost exclusively streaming? What does right. that look like? Which one of these streaming services can support a big time major conference, still put together a quality product? And yeah, as you and John said, like to a certain extent, sales is sales. Like you have a product, you're selling that product, you're trying to get people to get the most you can for it. I mean, that's something that's translatable. And he does have sports experience. It's just not really in the college sports world.
Go ahead, Emery. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, like, you look at what college sports has become, and with all the NIL stuff, I'd argue it's almost more important to have someone that has that business sense that, as opposed to someone that maybe is a little bit more experienced specifically in college football, because, I mean, college football as a whole is going to change. Like, we've already seen massive changes compared to even just a decade ago in terms of what sort of recruiting entails and sort of how we're seeing NIL factor into it. And so, like, for me, when I look at how Yormak is going to be able to continue to sort of develop as a commissioner, he's going to need help when it comes to understanding what universities have in their own best interest. But when it comes to understanding the product, like, you can understand the Big 12 product pretty well from the outside, I would think. Like, it's not that hard to
right.
understand, A, the demographics of each school, B, sort of the strengths that we've seen in sports, whether it be the basketball conference being the best conference in the country for the last 7 or so years. And then also just understanding kind of like what the avenues forward for each university is. Like, that's going to be stuff where if he takes on this role, he's going to be able to understand that stuff. Like, you're going to have to, it's almost a requisite to understand it. So I'm not worried in the slightest when it comes to information. I think the biggest part of this that is the case with any commissioner is making sure the universities, the presidents, and the ADs all work with them and cooperate, because the ADs are trying to play hardball and don't like their own commissioner. That makes it a lot more difficult. And I mean, from all accounts, the fact that everyone was on board with it makes it seem like, especially on the president side of things, that we're headed in the right direction in that sense.
Well, I'd love to know who those two athletic directors are. That was not smart. Unless it was Texas and OU, then I just don't really care. But, like, come on. You're going to have to talk to this guy on the phone. I know his anonymity, and he'll be nice, whatever. That's not helping anybody. It really does not help anybody. Also, I think the one important thing to think about this, when he's selling this television contract that's coming up here, all right, it's not about – to me, this next round of negotiations is not about understanding TCU football and where TCU football can be sold. And it is in some ways, but like, really, I think this is going to be identifying players. And I mean, players in the TV space, the media space, who want to get in on the college football action that maybe aren't yet. I think that's the Big 12's best thing, because look, guys, we're all honest about this. The Big 12's strength is not going to be, you know, giving you primetime massive matchups every single week. Like, I think the Big 12's best value is going to be giving you volume of really interesting games and also volume of very dedicated fan bases that you can, that, you know, stuff you can put on your Apple TV Plus, on your Paramount Pluses, on your Hulus, on your Netflixes, you know, whoever wants to get in this Amazon, whatever, whoever wants to get in these space, I think that's where they're going to have to go, which is a pretty big departure from which George Kliavkov said he believes the next round of television deals are going to be predominantly linear cable. I don't know if that's the best way for this conference to go, which kind of leads us to this really big thing. Like, the TV contract to me is the number one thing that I think about that he has to nail. It is the number, when I think about, okay, what's the number one, it might not be the first thing on his agenda. I think actually John, Texas and OU together might be. Now we have a commissioner, maybe to talk about, all right, what's the exit fee? Maybe that can actually happen. Maybe that's next. But the number one topic, the cloud that looms over all of this, in my opinion, is the next TV deal. And it's because of things like the ACC's deal sucks. The Pac-12's deal is up. The Big Ten is going to negotiate their deal, but we're not really close to the Big Ten. I think I'm comparing more the Big 12 to the ACC and the Pac-12. Can you get within striking distance of those conferences with this next TV deal? So, John, that's where my mind went first. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely thought about the Oklahoma-Texas thing, because I think it is going to be relevant and it's going to be an issue there. But yeah, number one for the conference is going to be the TV deal, because that's going to be the thing that drives long-term sustainability. And they have, I feel like, an equally, you know, marketable conference to the ACC. Yes, you've got Florida State and Clemson, Miami's coming up. But other than that, like, I mean, it's not littered, I don't think.
Wake Forest really played Pitt in the championship game last year.
With great powerhouse, you know, programs. I mean, Virginia Tech's got a great fan base too, but I really do think that, like, they the suck, Big 12 personally. Has, I mean, BYU may not be the national power, but they've got a great fan base that's nationwide. You know, Houston's in a great media market. TCU's in a great media market. Cincinnati is in a great football market. I mean, there's a lot of really good things to sell about the Big 12's TV contract. And yeah, that's going to be number one. I mean, yes, they're going to try and get a deal done with Texas and Oklahoma to figure that out, but that's not going to be top of priority for him. He's going to start scouting out. And I think the streaming thing is going to be huge for them, because yes, you might be able to get some of these linear deals going where you have your games on network. But what about the games that aren't going to be the prime game in that regional space? They got to go somewhere. So why not put it on Amazon Prime? I think that'd be a huge opportunity for the Big 12.
All right, one quick word from our sponsors. Today's show is brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. Go to rockauto.com today for the best prices on parts for your car or truck. Why choose to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? For example, Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store, $216 at rockauto.com. It's a family-run business serving do-it-yourselfers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? That way they know we sent you. Amazing selection, always low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com. So I'll go to you, Steven, now on this. Is that issue number one for you, or are you somebody who thinks of maybe CFP expansion? Because I know that's something people are thinking about. Is, you know, are you with the TV deal side of things, or was your number one thought something else?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's sort of 1A and 1B, but I feel like the TV deal and the CFP expansion sort of go hand in hand. I mean, and the expansion being, okay, can you get to 8 teams? And then if there's going to be automatic qualifiers, is there a way that you stay, you know, in the mix? One fascinating thing to me about the TV deal, too, is, and I just sort of thought about this as you were saying it, because you mentioned, like, maybe a way to go is to be kind of a little off the beaten path and go with a streaming service. You know, it's interesting, like, as I think about the Big 12 and, you know, the future of it with the teams that are going to be left, like, I think there's a lot of really good teams, competitive teams, but the identity has really shifted. And you look at, like, Baylor, they're more defensive minded now. Like Oklahoma State has become more, you know, physical, run the football, defensive minded. We'll see what Texas Tech does. I know Emory will have better insight on that. I know Zach Kittley's a great OC, but like Joe McGuire is a defensive coach. Those are his roots. And it's almost like, man, would sort of the gimmicky, like offensive explosion that they used to have, would that have been a better product. Sell? A better product,
right,
for a bunch of teams that aren't a flagship. I'm like, hey, it might not be the best, you know, star power in the world, but you're going to see 50 points. Like,
yeah, we're going to sell you 52-45 is what we're selling you. Yeah,
right. You can flip on Tech Cincinnati and it's going to be 52-45. You're going to see a lot of touchdowns, and that's not what this conference is going to be now. So it's sort of like, how do you find that? Yeah, Cincinnati's great. Like they have like NFL players. Luke Fickell's a really good coach.
That was a defensive football team.
But yeah, they're a physical defensive football team.
Yes.
So can anybody outside of the SEC sell that, you know, on a big stage? That'll be part of the issue too. But I think, yes, TV contracts staying in the forefront of the college football landscape and just making sure that people have eyeballs on your games is going to be the biggest challenge here.
Well, that's the trade-off, right? That's the big trade-off, Emory, is if you go to a stream, you know, this is a conversation we've had a bunch, but like you have to return to it. If you take a big check from a streaming service, for example, an Apple TV Plus, right? Apple TV Plus really, I'm not sure if you guys saw it, they really dropped the bag for MLS. $200 million, I think, was the television contract somewhere in that neighborhood for Major League Soccer to go to MLS. Plus has a good following. But really, it's got a good follow. That's the reason why they're dropping the bag for it, right? They know that diehard MLS fans are going to get that Apple TV Plus to watch. And that's the thing, is like that's where the money is for these TV companies, these media companies, is the subscription part of it. Because, Emory, for example, like you can speak to this. If Tech was playing on Apple TV Plus exclusively, I mean, there'd be, you know, people might not love it. But there'd be a whole heck of a lot of people getting the Apple TV Plus subscription. I can't think of anybody who wouldn't go and do it. And think about it this way. Like, you know, I know it might be tough for fans to swallow, but you're kind of investing in the Big 12 as well. But I just want your thoughts on that, Emory, like the trade-off of visibility on a linear cable versus the higher dollar figure from maybe CBS wants you on Paramount Plus. It's still a big TV company, but they want to put you in the paid platform instead.
Yeah, so I think first off, one of the things that I kind of wanted to bring up was at the end of the day, this discussion on TV deal, I don't think initially is going to come down to pure money, because at the end of the day, we've seen, whether it be an MLS, whether it be an F1, whether it be even like IndyCar and the impending possible deals with the NBA going forward, we see that there's going to be a host of new players coming to the table. And whether it be streaming services or linear cable, the money's going to be there, because linear cable companies don't want to lose their leverage on the sports market. And obviously these streaming services have heavy monetization on kind of at stake if they're able to kind of tap into the sports market more effectively. So the money deals are going to be there. I think what Yormark's job is going to have to be is going to be figuring out sort of how to leverage that to get the best combination of pure money, as well as getting a schedule that's friendly in terms of large amounts of eyeballs on the product. Because if you look back to some former presidents of conferences that have kind of gone towards the streaming route, obviously this was a few years ago, so things weren't quite as developed. But I remember back to the Conference USA signing a deal with Stadium. And
yeah,
if you look at that, it was a complete disaster. And now obviously Apple and Amazon and Netflix coming in with their own product is completely different than Stadium from a funding standpoint and from a product standpoint. But the same problem exists. When you make a subscription-based service and you make it at least a little bit harder for the average viewer of Texas Tech football to come and watch whatever Joe McGuire is putting on the field, then you risk losing eyeballs to the product, which then down the line hurts you in the next deal, because then the streaming services can sort of say, well, this deal didn't work out for us. So you're kind of tying your hand there. And so for me, the trade-off really comes down to, like, if you're going to go down the route of having a streaming deal, I feel like you have to make sure that you kind of load it up with provisions that allow you to still have set amounts of premier games on linear cable television and still have the ability to work with like a CBS. And even if you do have set number of games on Paramount, still being able to draw that, because at the end of the day, like, you're not going to go anywhere without viewership. And
right.
So as of now, I'm with Klyevkov on the Pac-12 on what he thinks on this. And in that, until we see the streaming services get widespread enough that you're getting anywhere close to the amount of viewers as you would get on normal cable, until you have that amount of subscribers on any of the platforms, then college football, college athletics in general, can't survive off of pure streaming platforms. And so I think down the line, it's a potential avenue, but right now you have to make sure you get a deal that can combine the cable television and then maybe bring in some streaming, because I do think there's an avenue for it in the future, but it's not going to be sustainable right now.
Well, I mean, think about it. Like, the Big 12 actually has the model now, right? I mean, how many times have people complained, oh my God, you know, it's predetermined for basketball. Like, we get these top like 15 matchups on ESPN Plus pretty much routinely. It's because the conference is so damn good. Like, we routinely see like top 15 games. You know, I forget who it was from West Virginia was complaining in Congress, was like, you know, we don't have the best internet here in West Virginia. Sorry. It always ends up being West Virginia fans, doesn't it? And they're like, you know, we can't watch our team play, which sucks. I'm sorry, guys. I'm really sorry for y'all out there. But it's kind of interesting. The Big 12 is in this space already. I will say the Pac-12 is fighting their way out of a bit of a hole, right? The Pac-12 network was such an out-and-out disaster. Now, the streaming stuff, I know some people work for it. It's fine, whatever. But, like, their big problem is their big games are not at normally good times. Like, there are not a whole lot of great Pac-12 football games on at normal times. There's a lot of fun ones that happen late at night, but like, you'll get the Oregon versus Stanford maybe as a Saturday night football sometimes, but like, they're not hitting home runs in the way they want to. So they're fighting an uphill battle, which I think is something interesting from their standpoint. The Big 12 is not, they're fighting the uphill battle because they don't have the teams necessarily, the brands that they're losing, which brings me to John now. John, do you think because there is a businessman who is not attached to Oklahoma and Texas at all? I mean, this guy is, you know, spent a lot of time and he's from New Jersey, went to Indiana, done a lot of his business in New York. Like, he's like, all right, let's cash out Oklahoma and Texas. Let's get the biggest check from these guys. Either we're going to monetize them on the way out by having them, you know, drive up TV revenue for us, or we're going to cash them out and grab as much money as possible from them on the way out. What do you think is going to happen now that we know who the man is? And he's a businessman from the East Coast, baby.
Are you saying that a guy from New Jersey is going to sell him an insurance policy?
Yes.
Sorry, that's a terrible New Jersey accent.
That's the worst Italian accent ever. Yes.
Yeah. My Italian is not as good as my Australian, mate, but it's okay.
That's better.
Yeah, it's a little bit better. I've been watching a lot of Bluey. Yeah. No, so... Terrible. I do think that it's going to speed up negotiations. I think that he's probably going to hold Oklahoma and Texas to the fire. Like, you have no leverage. You can stay till 2025, which he's right. Oklahoma and Texas don't really have any leverage. Or you can pay out and pay what we want you to pay and get out early. And I mean, that's really what it's going to come down to for Oklahoma and Texas. Do they want to pay what's being demanded of them? Or do they just want to sit out or sit and wait their time? And I think Oklahoma and Texas will end up kind of paying. Now, I don't think the Big 12 – I guess let me just say it this way. Sorry, I'm sweating.
No, you're good.
The Oklahoma and Texas, they don't really have any reason to stay in the Big 12 except for money. If they can come up with the money, Oklahoma just got the deal with ESPN for Soonervision. They're getting money from all kinds of donors right now for, you know, stadium upgrades, a new stadium. I feel like they can find the money. There's been a lot of talk about whether or not Oklahoma has the money. I think they can find the money to pay the buyout, whatever it ends up being. It's Oklahoma. There's enough oil in this state that somebody would be willing to give them that money to go to the SEC early. That said, will Oklahoma want to ask of it? That remains to be seen. The rumor is Texas already has the money stowed away unless they spend it all on all their new recruits and Arch Manning. I don't know. We'll see.
Arch Manning for SEO purposes, getting him in there. All right. One more word from our sponsors. We'll wrap things up. A little bit of Arch Manning talk. Today's show is brought to you by BetOnline and BetOnline.net. It's your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs, starting over, and Major League Baseball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. BetOnline is the fastest way and easiest way to check all your favorite sports, including MMA, boxing, golf, F1, no live golf, boo live golf. You guys can go do that at BetOnline and BetOnline.net. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. All right, Steven, Quinn Ewers is your guy. Arch Manning is not your guy, is he?
I defended Quinn Ewers on the show before, yes, because he okay. he went and got more money after spending a hot second at Ohio State.
All right, we'll get a quick yes or no answer from everybody here. Do we see Arch Manning in the Big 12? Steven?
No.
Emery?
No.
John?
No. No. If he were going to have to play in the Big 12, he'd probably be at Alabama or Georgia.
You don't think he'd want to play in the Big 12 for a year? I think he'd want to.
It was surprising to me that he committed to Texas to begin with all the SEC ties. Like,
I'm actually not shocked. I'm not shocked he went to Texas at all. I'm not surprised. I think that's an offensive coordinator thing. I also think like this wave of recruits we're seeing right now is pretty. That was going to happen. Like, I think we knew that there was going to be a pretty big wave once he decided to make the call on this. All right, folks. There you go. There's your SEO. We call it SEO in the business, everybody out there. There's your Arch Manning talk that we slid in here. Time for plugs. Everybody can tell us what you got going on, where they can find you, everything. Steven Simcox, you're up first.
Yeah, show is Locked on Horned Frogs. We're on YouTube. We're everywhere you get your podcast. At Simcox Steven is my personal Twitter handle. At Locked on TCU is the show's Twitter handle. Plenty of offseason recruiting news right now. TCU actually had Trevor Goosby, an offensive lineman. He flipped to Texas after the Arch Manning commitment this past week. So we'll kind of revisit where they go from here on the offensive line front.
Emery.
You can follow my personal Twitter account, EddieRooster41, to see whatever I'm tweeting there. Obviously, Locked On Texas Tech, the official Locked On Texas Tech Twitter account at Locked On TTU. Been trying to kind of develop some polls there. We're doing a football preview series where I take a look at each of the individual opponents. Obviously, I've already started with Murray State and with Houston. Going to do NC State next week. Hopefully, I have some visitors on coming soon. And beyond that, just be ready for some position previews I've got coming on the pod on YouTube, wherever your podcast as well. It's a good time to be tuned in to Locked On Texas Tech.
John.
Yeah, you can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Sooners, on Facebook, Locked On Sooners Podcast. And you can follow me on Twitter at John9Williams. And the show is on YouTube as well, Locked On Sooners. Make sure you go back and listen to our interviews with 2023 commits Jackson Arnold, Joshua Bates, and Caleb Hicks, as well as a transfer from Michigan pitcher Alex Starocco for the softball team. That one was a big-time show, good time listening to her tell her story about when Patty Gasso called, just great times over there. And we're going to have Parker Thune on this week to give us an Oklahoma recruiting update. So check that out at Locked On Sooners.
All right, I got to shout out our guy, Drake C. Toll. He's using this show. So everybody at Locked On Baylor, I hope you guys are enjoying this show. Make sure you guys check out Locked On Baylor if you're interested in that type of thing. You guys can find me on Twitter at @JoshNeighbors_. Yeah, that's what it is. You guys can find the show at LOBig12. You guys can subscribe on YouTube, and you guys can find us on Future Podcast. Subscribe, friends. We're trying to get this thing to 1,000. We hit 900 today, trying to get to 1,000 before the season starts. I know we don't always have everything about your team all the time, but it is worth it if you're a Big 12 fan to also subscribe to Locked On Big 12 in addition to whatever your favorite team is in the conference in their podcast.
Do it.
All right, guys. Fun stuff. See y'all tomorrow or next week.
Sometime. I'll see you then.
Sometime. Yeah, sometime. Time. Yeah, see you guys later.